Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Recently, we compared two superheroes, Dashing Super Guy and Kirby from Nintendo. In some ways, Kirby lost big. No big hair, no big muscles, no weapons, nothing. All Kirby's got is appetite. Kirby's Dream Land, the thrilling adventure game on Game Boy. Kirby munches, spits back, and floats, saving glorious Dream Land. He's Kirby, and he packs a mean bite. Kirby's Dream Land, only on Game Boy.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Play Retro. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and even though I say Kirby sucks, I mean it in the best way possible.
Aw, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think this little pink dude has an eating problem. Hey, hey, stop copying me. Stop it, you little pink god.
Yeah, he is a pink god. He's a god. He can do whatever he wants. This world is his to do as he pleases.
Do with
as he pleases is what I mean. He can suck you in, and then he hits down, and then he takes on whatever powers you had. That's just the way it is, F-balls. So get used to it. Kirby, he's here to stay. We're going to talk about Kirby today. I'm excited about this. Very,
retro
actually.
Kirby, baby.
Big Kirby fan, playing three games right now from different generations. I'll talk about those a little bit later. Before we get to any of this Kirby talk, a couple of quick things. I got my Steam Deck running all the emulation stuff. All of it.
Oh, see, that's the only reason why I even want one.
Not even hard. It was the easiest freaking thing I think I've ever done with this sort of thing. It was so simple that it's almost like I feel like I cheated. It's like you literally go into desktop mode on your deck, which is built into the functionality of the thing. That's not some hackery thing. You can run the thing in desktop mode and it just runs like a Linux desktop. And you go and load up your ROMs. You run this little thing I got at emudeck.com, which I talked about a little bit last week. It's just a little installer. It does everything for you. You can get crazy about settings if you want, but you really don't need to. And once it's done, you're done. In fact, you just hop back over to Steam Deck mode or game mode, they call it. So you're out of desktop, back into game mode. And you go to Steam and you just download like Emulation Station or in any number of other front ends that you can use. And it just worked. Like, it just worked. I played. It was great. They're all on an SD card in there. If I want, I can have it on the main drive. I have some games in there. I need to move them around. But point is, it's just all right there. And that's where I played two of my three Kirby games this week is on that thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I am curious. How do you get the ROMs onto the device? Do you plug it in through a USB? Do you pull the SD card out, copy the files over? What's the go-to move?
But here's what I did. I'll tell you what I did. I took my ROMs and I put them on a private Dropbox link for myself.
Okay.
And so I Dropbox that to myself, or basically put them in a Dropbox. Then I copied the link to that folder, made a frogpants.com/ I won't say what, that basically is a page with just a link to that page, right? So right. All I had to do was, when you go in there, the default browser in the desktop mode is Firefox. I run that. I go to that link, just put it in, boop, I'm there. And hit the link, downloads it, go to downloads, unzip them. That's it. Simple as that.
Just like that.
Yeah. Now, you could do it the other way. You could do it other ways. You could do, you know, like you said, the SD card and then pull it back if you want. If you could do, you can hook up, you know, a USB little hub or something and then
right.
network it all over there. You could do it over Wi-Fi via some other protocol. There's plenty of Linux ways of sending stuff back and forth. So there's lots of ways to do it. I just found that to be the fastest and easiest.
Okay. Okay. So there's different ways to do it. That's good to know. That's excellent to know. Actually, I had Eric on Twitter offer me their spot in line on getting the Steam Deck, but it was I looked around and I was a little bit nervous to pull the trigger on that because of the way some people was like, yes, no problem, so what, you just, you know, but you have to log into their account. And Eric was super cool and was like, do it, it doesn't matter. And I was like,
you have to log into their, they can't transfer it. That's interesting. I thought maybe they could move it around. I guess you can't do that.
You can't move around the initial purchase. Once you get it, you can attach to any account you want to.
Yeah.
But I think the initial purchase has to be done through the Steam account that was done that way. And I looked around and some people were like, sure, no problem. And other people were like, giant problem. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to run into a giant problem. So I'm like, I guess I'll just wait.
For some reason.
But Eric was awesome for offering that.
I thought you could transfer it to another Steam user like a gift. I thought you could do that.
I seen some people say the same thing. They thought they could do it. And then other people said, nope. And I'm like, okay, why not? And so other people was like, well, you just cancel it. And then the next person can get it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not the next person in line. So that's not going to do me no good.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there was a lot of discussion about it. I'm sure people will come back and play retroshow@gmail.com and tell me how you fool, you should have done this. And I'll be like, too late. I've already missed my chance.
Well, he's still got it reserved, right? He's not.
I think until the 28th or something. So if you're hearing this after this, it's too late, buddy. It's too late.
It might be. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. I really want you to get one of these. I'm so impressed with it. I played modern stuff, old stuff, stuff in the middle, things I haven't touched in 10 years. It's kind of become my favorite little booger to play with.
Oh, please. Somebody capture that.
My little booger. I like to play with boogers.
Yeah, you hadn't touched it in 10 years and... Got to play with your little booger. All right.
Got to get that booger out. So anyway, that's that. I wanted to also give a quick shout out. I cannot remember if I thanked him publicly last week or not, so I'm going to do it even if I did it twice. I don't care because that's how nice he is. I just wanted to once again thank Jim out there, who I know is in the chat room right now. Dude, for my birthday, dropped off. He lives here locally. Dropped off a PlayStation 3 unboxed PS3 just waiting to be open and used. And that was really nice of him because I no longer have my PS3. It sold that forever ago to I don't remember who. And I regretted it because it was about that time where I stopped selling my consoles every time it would roll into a new generation. Yeah. And I just regret ever selling any of them. Like I just hate that I ever did. So I wish I'd have kept them. Now I got a PS3 to hang on to. That's awesome. He's awesome. Thank you, Jim.
I got some PS3 news coming too, but we won't have that until next week.
Oh,
and I'll talk about it. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Fancy. All right. Tell me what you did this week. You're probably messing around with stuff. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Quickly, I want to follow up. Last week, we talked about the legacy of Kane. And if you didn't see that or listen to that yet, you should go back and listen to it. It was a great episode. It's not going to be as you want to watch. You go through this one first. Go through the Kirby. Do that. But anyway, Legacy of Kane, I picked up all of the Legacy of Kane series games, except for Soul Reaver, who has been pulled. That one has been pulled from the Steam store as well as the good old game store. And so I end up having to get it through.
That's right. We talked about that because they were going to re-release it, or they said, stay tuned for news. And then they never said anything.
They never did anything.
Yeah.
So
lame.
I actually went to I went directly to the source and I bought it from Square Enix. Right. Is that right?
That's the publisher. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, I went to Square Enix's website directly and said, how about now? And they said, yeah, we'll sell it to you. and they give you a Steam game code.
Really?
So I just bought her from them, $6.99. Went over to Steam, activated it, and so I got Soul Reaver on my Steam now.
Why did they do that in the first place? That's so weird to me. Like, if they're going to take it off the store, but they're going to sell it to you and give you a Steam code to go right back to Steam and install it? That's so weird.
I was curious about that. I was like, was there some kind of... So, to me, it feels a little bit dirty. It feels like they're trying to squeeze Steam out of their cut. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but it felt a little bit weird. So I don't know if there's like some kind of legality or something that they're trying to wrestle with. And it's like, it's just easier to do it like this. But I don't appreciate, we'll get back to you soon, and then still selling it on your website. I don't appreciate that.
No, I don't either. I think that sucks.
Like you're doing something weird.
I think they are doing something weird. I don't trust that. Right. That's bad behavior. Square Enix, stop doing that kind of thing.
It's at least weird behavior. But another thing. Mm. So, where'd it go? Where'd it go?
Did you get a Retron 5?
Oh, I have a Retron 5. I had a Retron 5 forever.
Oh, I forgot you had. Okay. I saw this.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you about that too, but that's going to lead into the Kirby discussion because it actually has something to do with Kirby.
Oh.
But Jeremy Salentis had sent me something to take a look at, and I'm going to see if we cannot get this to working, but it's a 32X.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah.
Did you have to hold something together?
We're going
to
take a look at this on mine and see if we can't get that puppy running.
Is it falling apart or something? You're holding it weird.
No, it's not. It's just not loading up the games from what I understand. But it just came in, so I can't tell you exactly what all is going to be, the issue. So
you got to go for the full tower. Check it out. Full tower, baby. This is what I want.
Full tower, baby. I got to get that CD, that Sega CD too, so I can stack it that way as well. Yes.
Why did I sell all that stuff? I should have kept it.
I know. That's what makes it retro, man. You sold it, you have regrets, and now you want it back.
And the 3DX, what is that called? What did they
make? Which
was
the
32X? 32X. That's what I want. 32X.
Yeah. 32X.
Not 32X. No. What was the little CD player portable one that had a CD?
Oh, yeah. The CD. Yes, it's the CD.
CDX.
The Sega CD. Was it CDX?
I think it was a CDX. Oh, I forget now.
Maybe.
Everybody was putting X's in
there. I thought it was called the Sega CD.
No, it's the one that's the portable.
That's what I always call it.
And it was it's the size of a Discman.
Yeah. And it fits right alongside the Model 2. It looks just like the Model 2.
No,
right?
Not that. You're still thinking of the CD player, the Model 2 CD.
Oh.
I'm talking like here, I'm gonna find it. It's gonna drive me crazy.
No, you find it. You go find it. While you're doing that, I am gonna talk just real quick about our I ordered my first Famicom disc, and you said, hey, Brian, you got a Retron 5? I do. Retron 5 allows you to play, it says 5 game systems, but it's actually more than that because it allows me to play Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. It allows me to play, there it is. Oh, okay, the CDX. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The CDX is this one that's like, I mean, there's a cartridge in the back, but you put Genesis cartridges in there. This thing opens up a clamshell for CDs. I think it only had 2-player ports, but it also did a bunch of music stuff. Anyway, I had one of those. It was expensive.
I forgot about that thing.
$400 or something.
Yeah.
And
you got suckered,
it.
Sucker. Did you have that Landstalker in it?
No, I did not. That is not my copy, but that was the thing I was thinking of. Sorry. Go ahead. Show me that again. Right. What do you got there?
Yeah. Okay. So I got the Kirby. This is my first Super Famicom game.
Nice.
I ordered this off eBay. It is the Super Deluxe Kirby, which was it wasn't called Super Deluxe. It was called Superstar. So in America, we called this Superstar, which is the 8-mode Kirby game. But I plugged this right into my Retron 5 and launched it and played it. Nope, just kidding. I plugged it in 100 times before it finally recognized the ROM. But I knew that was kind of an issue because that slot in the Retron 5 is it's a little finicky. But I finally got to see firsthand the region locking that is the Super Famicom. You know, I've read a little about it, but I've never actually seen why you can't stick a Super Famicom cartridge into a SNES. And it really is a physical block. There is a physical bit of this cartridge that actually stops it from being able to go into the slot. So I was like, okay, so
that,
now I understand.
That was their way of keeping things region locked and all that, or one other way of doing it, I guess.
Yeah. And I read about it and I knew that I couldn't, but I was always curious about, how does that actually work? And now I've seen it. I've seen it myself firsthand.
That thing looks more likely to plug into a freaking Genesis by the look of it, like the shape of it.
It is very close to a Genesis size shape. It's probably more of a Genesis shape, but it's bigger. It's bigger. It's almost about as wide as an NES cart would be, but about, you know, not that tall, but like more like the height of a Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
So it's and pretty cool. I want to get a Super Famicom proper. And the only reason why I got this one is I knew I had an English version of it that I could reference because, you know, all the instructions are in Japanese.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is actually, you can tell us in English, like a lot of things like Kirby's name and, you know, like the different, the bad guy names, all that stuff. That's all it using, you know, what's the word? It's not, you know, you got the Japanese character language, but then you got the Japanese language. In
well, there's no name for Kirby in Japan. It's just, it's Kirby. It's
Twinkle.
Everywhere.
It's Twinkle Popopo.
Yeah. Twinkle Popopo. Yeah.
That's that was the original name, right?
But my point is, like, yeah, you'll see all kinds of localization that includes, you know, even full Japanese. You're going to have some stuff in there that's like, oh, well, that's the reason it's the American word is they don't have a word for it otherwise, or some other word. I don't mean American; it could be English or anything else. However, usually that means you can get around it and kind of guess at what menus are.
Right.
But some games way too complicated. You're like, oh crap, I don't know what to do next.
Not Kirby.
Yeah, not Kirby. Kirby is what'd you call him? Twinkle Toes Popopo. What is it?
Oh, he's Twinkle Popopo. I think it was originally because it's the actual title of this game actually is Hoshi. Is it now? I'm forgetting. Hoshino Kirby. Super Deluxe, which you can tell that last part is written in English. It just says Super Deluxe.
Yep.
So
I think Super was always one of those words.
Well, because it's Super.
It was always one of those words, though. I don't think they have a Japanese word for it. Or if they do, they don't use it in all the video game stuff. So
right.
It's weird. Very weird. Well, worry not, everybody, because Kirby's right around the corner after I play this.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah, I think we should play a game. A little game called Kirby Popopo. Just kidding.
Twinkle
Popopo. All right. The first game that happened in the series, surprisingly enough, the origins of this game or this series, as venerable as it is and as many as there has been since, was the good old-fashioned black and white freaking Game Boy.
I thought Kirby was older than 1992's Game Boy. I really did. I was thinking he was like mid-80s.
Well, I thought 87. If I was going to guess with a gun to my head, I would have said 87, 88 maybe. It is a little surprising. 92 feels much later in the timeline than I expected. He is, for lack of a better way of describing it, the main protagonist of Nintendo's Kirby series. And like we just said, made that debut in 1992. The game was called Kirby's Dream Land here in the States. And the series has been running for 3 decades, over 30 titles since then with his name on it.
They've had no trouble thinking of places to put Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby gets around. Let's put it that way.
Kirby gets around.
Most of these developed by HAL Laboratories, but occasionally you see somebody else doing development work or co-development work. He's still a giant jerk in the Smash Brothers games. He's OP.
Yeah, it is funny. We'll kind of hit some of this, but I don't think it's any secret. On the surface, Kirby looks like a very simple, basic, happy-go-lucky character. But if you really dig into the Kirby lore, and how can you not?
Yeah,
there's a little bit of question of how good Kirby really is.
Yeah, there's not only that, but he's cute but weird enough that it's discordant. It's like, kind of hard to get your head around what Kirby really is and why he's involved.
What is your motivation here, my friend? Yeah. I mean, we know the backstory. We know that you're on planet Star Pop or whatever it is, hanging out in Dreamland, and Giant King Penguin DDD came along and, you know, and is stealing everybody's snacks and is quite upset your little pink bottom. We know, but there's more to the story than that. I just feel it.
Yeah, he's a poo-poo head. His newest game, The Forgotten Land, is amazing and also creepy. It's like cute and adorable and all the things you're used to with Kirby. Obviously, glorious modern looking 3D. But the world itself looks like Mad Max came in there and, you know, took a dump. So
now HAL Laboratories is known for doing that kind of cute, creepy thing, like with Earthbound.
Yeah.
That's also it on the surface looks like, you know, here's your cuteness. Yeah. Just kidding. Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Earthbound's a really good example, actually. And it's a bummer that that thing took so long to get into the hands of, or I guess Earthbound was here, but we didn't get two, right? The second
I think that's
one,
right. I think you are correct.
They never came to America, or at least hadn't before, but I think it's now on the online Switch thing. I think you can play it. Anyway.
Ooh, that's interesting. See, I've been meaning to go back and visit the online Switch since they've been adding so much stuff lately. I just haven't went back and done it yet.
Oh, yeah. I go in there all the time. In fact, there's versions, great versions of the Kirby games for the NES and Super NES. I don't know about the N64. I don't know if that version's on there. That's one of the least good Kirby's, so I'm fine if it's not.
Least.
We'll talk about that. But here's some sound from that original Kirby's Dream Land on the Game Boy. Very jolly, very jaunty.
Oh, yeah.
Look at some actual gameplay here. You know, something about Game Boy sounds, even more than the other 8-bit consoles at the time, that I love the sound of a Game Boy. I think that's why everybody always collects like 500 Game Boys and makes a giant like musical thing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's, there's something about it.
It's a little bit saccharine for my tastes in this one. Now, I'm not saying this bad. I'm just saying that it was sometimes I felt like the music was overpowering everything else, and man, that's a weird complaint to have, but it just felt like I couldn't hear the cool Kirby suck noise. I like hearing Kirby.
You like hearing, you know, Kirby suck, yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah.
In this game, things are a lot more basic. You didn't quite have the breadth of abilities and things that you would get in later iterations of the game, which is fine, you know, whatever.
You couldn't even copy. I was shocked.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early, dude. They don't know what they're doing yet.
Yeah, they did.
They were just trying to be
Kirby
like.
Kirby didn't know.
No, he didn't know. And they were just like, something. You know what? We're trying to make a cute kind of platformer. Mario's got a certain thing going. We're going to try to do something different than that. And they did that. I think they succeeded in doing that. The Game Boy game is pretty hard. I played a bunch of it this week. It's hard.
Really? Yeah.
Really? More difficult than usual.
I thought it was easy.
Really?
Okay. So here's a point of contention between many Kirby people. Mm. I think that to complete the game is easy, but if you actually want to do what, you know, if like modern gamers think, it's like, oh, well, I don't want to get hit here at all. We learned that in the Mega Man series. It's like, I don't like getting hit at all. But it's impossible not to get hit in Mega Man. It's kind of the same here with Kirby too, but it doesn't feel like there's much of a penalty for getting hit. That's true.
You have a lot more. There's no one hits like. What does Mario do? Mario eats a mushroom, and now you're two hit. In the case of Kirby, you've got a life bar, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six notches on it. Every hit will take you down a notch. I just felt like the Game Boy game was a little less forgiving than future installments of the game, including the NES game that was just about to come after that, which I love. Oh my gosh, I love that game. We'll talk about why I love that game, but I love that.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But we're still on the green screen machine, man.
Yeah. And by the way, even back then, he lived in a dome shaped home in Dreamland on a country on his home planet called Planet Popstar.
Planet Popstar, because he was Twinkle Popopo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real dumb. Real dumb.
Now you got to remember, some of this was designed. Most of it was designed by, I'm going to say his name wrong, but Masahiro Sakurai.
I think you did really good.
Why do I feel like I have to do with the accent? I don't know.
Anyway, no, it sounded good. You sounded like you nailed it.
Right.
Nicely done.
Well, I heard a lot of people say it, but I know I didn't say it right. But anyway, he was only 19 at the time when he was tasked with coming up with Nintendo put out the call and said, hey, we're looking for a game that's accessible to all gamers, you know, grandma, kids, you know, it has to be a little bit challenged, but most of all, it's got to be playable by anybody. It's got to be cute. It's got to be fun.
And
he delivered. Yeah, he delivered. He delivered, but, you know, by committee too. He didn't do it all by himself, but you know, he was the primary pusher of all
that. Still pretty impressive, though. 19 years old.
Geez. Yeah, 19 years old, man.
I know plenty of 19-year-olds that couldn't do this.
Yeah, brought to Hal Laboratories, who was in major financial trouble at the time and was switching leadership, brought those guys out of the hole. They were they were suffering until then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. French fried taters. Mm-hmm.
French fried taters. Mm-hmm.
So, Kirby's awesome. Now, things would get a little more colorful in 1993, only a year later.
Right.
When we got some sweet 6-bit color. And the copy ability happened. That's also cool.
Yes.
And it got that, you know, that big tree was in the mobile one too, but, or not the mobile one, the freaking, what am I trying to say?
Yeah, well, it was mobile.
But,
I mean,
it is Game mobile, Boy, but yeah. mobile in a different sense. This
the
is where
sappy tree that was all like, oh, boo-hoo.
Now, this is the one where things got, for me, the most interesting. And there's a long story to this game that we're not even going to get to yet, but this is the one that really started it. It's an incredible game. Yeah. Here's some sound. Listen to that.
Now that's Kirby. That's Kirby to me.
That's great Kirby music. I freaking love that, dude.
Yeah.
Jaunty, good time right there. Anyway, Kirby's this adventure is a little bit more grand, obviously. We're in full color now. We got the power of the NES, whatever that, you know, whatever you want to take that as, sort of back in the thing. And this also is, to me, where all the gameplay really started to shine. Like, what is this game going to be about? What is this going to feel like for forever? Like, Kirby has felt like this since then for the most part. I'm going to say the N64 game had trouble. You know, what trouble we'll get to in a minute. But I think this game is like a high watermark. It will actually get beat down the road, but it'll get beat by a translation of this game into a remastered form.
Right.
That would end up on the Game Boy Advance with a slightly different title. And that is the best Kirby game ever made. Straight up. It's so good.
I wasn't sure because, okay, so my experience with Kirby was I played Kirby, but I wasn't a big Kirby fan. I would usually hop on. And my first experience also, I believe, was with the Kirby Adventure on the NES. And I remember thinking, oh, this is kind of cool. But I got bored pretty quick, probably because I was thinking in my head, this is going to be like Mario. This is going to be a Mario, you know, platformer. And I was like, what am I doing right now? Sucking stuff up. And I don't understand what's going on here. Young Brian was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, I really missed out. How did this person win? How did this person on screen just win two in the stupid claw machine?
I've done
the little bonus games.
You got to do that. That's good. You can do that.
I suck at it. How did you do that?
I don't know. I just got it. I didn't think that part was very hard, but I feel you.
I never could do it. I couldn't even get one.
I feel you. But one of the mechanics of the game was eat a dude and then push down. What did that dude do? It gave you the dude's powers. So if he's a little fire chucking guy, or if it's like a little guy with like a sword or whatever his abilities are, suddenly Kirby has some form of that ability, and it's amazing. Sometimes you'll find a favorite. It's like, well, I really like this one where, I don't know, the guy throws bombs. Now I can throw bombs. And you may want to try to hang on to it forever. Problem is, you get dinged or hit by one of these creatures, and you'll poop out the ability, and you have a limited amount of time to go eat it again. But
and
it makes
you work. And you
got
to chase it. And every time I try to chase it, I end up floating away. And I lose it, but I can't even work the crane machine, so what do I
know? No, I feel you. It's hard. That part is tricky. And I like that, though, because it just made you think a lot about your strategic choices and stuff. This game still plays extremely well on the NES. It's lacking in some ways, like, you know, animation frames and stuff like that. Most of that gets addressed in the remaster or the remake that they made for the GBA. And we'll get to that in a minute, but that's really the one to seek out. That remaster is so freaking good. Oh my gosh.
I did find it fascinating because this was late in the NES lifespan here. So this is 1993.
Yeah.
So this is one of the later games to come out on it. And I was kind of shocked because I noticed when I was playing, and this was, and we double checked this across a couple of different ROMs, me and the community. And it seemed that even the one on the online on the Switch service, is it has like almost screen tearing. I mean, when you're, it's not rendering everything on the edges. If you look at it,
see it here too. It's the game just did that. Like,
yeah, NES. Well, because they were trying to do probably beyond what the NES was. You know, they were at late life.
Yeah, life. When we run into this sometimes with the games we cover, it's like, wow, this was really late in life. And the truth is, the Kirby games have always been stuck toward, if not right at the end, near the end. Like even the new the new one came out late 2021.
Yeah.
And the Switch came out in 2017. We waited that long. Like they're still doing it. They still make
Kirby does clean up. So you put your Mario up front and then Kirby's in the back running a little defense for you.
Yeah. That's
He's
what
like,
you
I
do.
Got you.
Yeah. And it's fine. You. I'm okay with it. I'll wait for Kirby games. I don't have a problem with it. Brian told me pre-show. I didn't even know about it, but there's some racing Kirby mini game looking thing coming out this summer or soon. Yeah. I didn't even know about it.
If you can't catch a mainline Kirby, don't worry. Wait a month.
Yeah.
They'll have a puzzle game that'll cover you.
Well, let's get to some of that. The NES was fine. Then along came the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
And that sounded like this. As you can tell, a little better soundtrack. It's like we're getting into the era of, hey, this can sound good and look good. It's a new console, 16-bit graphics. Let's go. And then it's the worst game ever. Now, you're not going to agree with me. Brian thinks this is the best game ever. He likes Kirby Superstar. I don't. I think Kirby Superstar. We forgot to mention Kirby's Dream Land 2. There's a sequel for the Super Game Boy and the Game Boy. Should have mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know it's a shame to not talk more about it. But, yeah, Kirby's Dream Land is, I think,
it's
pretty
just,
awesome.
It's really good. But it's just, like, more of the same, though, right? Like
it's more of the same, except for the fact that it's like the Kirby's Dream Land 1, but this time you can have color if you had the Super Game Boy, which is an adapter you can plug into your SNES and then plug in your cartridge, and it has a color palette, and it looks really good. And we can't just pass over the fact that it introduces the pet mechanic, such as Rick the Hamster.
Yeah.
That blew my mind, and I was like, I'm all in, Kirby.
Yeah. Kirby's
Sign
great.
Sign me up. Now, but back to Kirby Superstar for the SNES, 1996.
Garbage game.
Dude.
Garbage game.
Not a garbage game,
Worst
man.
Game.
It's eight.
It's bad.
Eight games in one.
No, there's no value in that. You think there is, but I promise you there isn't. That game is just a bunch of mini games.
There was a Metroidvania with Kirby right in the middle of this.
Sorta. It's real weak sauce, that thing. I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm just going to say it's, of all the Kirby games, it's the one that is the most disappointing. Because they're just kind of, it's a gimmick. The whole thing is a gimmick. Everything about that game.
I spent more time playing this one than any of the others, and maybe because there's eight games, but the Great Cave Offensive, man, what a different tone completely. Is the music is more somber, everything just changes. There's the Milky Way Wishes game. There's, oh my God, you get to have the gourmet race. I mean, you get to race.
Well, I can tell you what this is, though. This is them saying, hey, where are those eight other prototypes we never pulled the trigger on because they weren't good enough to be their own game? Oh, I know. Let's put them all into one and call it a game. That's what they did.
Well, I think it's one of the most, if you just went, hey, which of these carts do I want? I'm going to say this is one of the best, most varied selection, and it introduced the power hats, which finally I'm like, that was so cool for me because I needed that visual representation. I needed Kirby to change visually when he got one of those power hats so that I could go, oh, now I'm RPGing. Yeah. Now I feel like something's happening.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff there. You're not wrong about it. I mean, there are glimpses of brilliance in it.
Two player?
Yeah, big deal. Who cares? Kirby's not meant for multiplayer unless you're racing.
You're not wrong because there's going to be a thing I'm going to say about the two player that I hated. But it's funny because I think that's the one that you say is the best one.
Oh, the best one by far.
Is that the one? Wait a minute. Maybe that's not the one I'm thinking
of. No, that's not the one you're thinking of. But we'll get to the one that's the best.
Yeah.
So there is a bunch of spinoffs as well. We didn't really mention them. I do want to mention at least one here. Kirby Pinball is so good.
That's Scott's wheelhouse right there.
Game Boy,
pinball.
Game Boy and NES. For some reason, this thing is not letting me play.
Oh yeah, you just totally lost it. But the Curry Pinball had that gyroscope in it, right? Had the gyroscope. That's what we call it. It's a gyro the giraffe. No, that wasn't the one, was it? That was the Tilton. That was the Tilton Tumble.
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not it.
I can't freaking remember now. But basically, Kirby Pinball was a very innovative pinball game. I think that those Pokemon pinball games that came later were directly inspired by it. It's one that you can sit and play forever. It's very good.
Well, it's a no-brainer. Kirby's a ball, right? I mean, he's a ball. He's a gumball.
Yep.
I mean,
he's a ball. Games that have a ball in it as a character or anything and that you play, like the Pokemon, it always have a Pokeball. Right. Of course, that's what you're going to do. You're going to hit him. You're going to hit him with flippers eventually and treat him like a pinball. That's the rule. And they
Miyamoto wanted him to be yellow because apparently he hates Namco and doesn't want to confuse anybody with Pac-Man. Whatever.
Oh, that's
Miyamoto.
Funny. Yeah,
it's pink.
Is that true? Do you say it was because of Pac-Man, or you just
no? He didn't say that, but Miyamoto did want him to be yellow. Huh.
I wonder why. Pink's fine. He's good. Pink.
Pink is great, but maybe not. Maybe they were afraid it wouldn't be masculine enough or something, but I don't know why, because all this stuff is just, you know, good candy goodness.
Yeah.
Give me the good candy.
Give me the
goodness.
good candy. On. Right, exactly. All I want is the good candy. What do you want?
Right. And of course, the Americans, we all thought he was just white. We thought he was a ghost.
Did we? Is that what we thought?
Yeah. The Dreamland, Kirby's Dreamland on the Game Boy, when it was released, the cover art, because, you know, the Americans, we got to choose the marketing angle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know America better. So we was like, yeah, he's white. And it's like, why? Because the screen is... Because
the screen's black and white. Yeah. Technically,
but
he's green.
It's green.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's more green than white.
Right.
Whatever. It's your mileage may vary. And if you don't like games that are pinball games based on a mainline series, you may not like it. But I love that game.
I didn't play it, but I was curious. I was trying to remember. It was for the Game Boy original, right? It wasn't
Game
for
Boy.
The color.
It came out for the Game Boy, or not Game Boy Color. That came out for the NES as well. There's a version for the NES.
Right.
And it's very good on there as well. Full color.
I feel like I need bumper buttons to play a pinball game, though. I feel like it would need to be on the SNES. So
here's
what
you
got
to do. Here's what you got to do. So a lot of those games, including Pokemon Pinball, they didn't even use they didn't even use the bumpers. They used B and A. The D-pad left button.
What?
And once you get used to that, it's fine. You just go bing, 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 bing. It's no problem.
No.
I promise you it works. I swear it does. Now, you can remap them to this on, you know, if you're going to emulate it or whatever. But back in the day, this was fine.
Yeah, there's no key remapping back in the day. It cracks me up every time I go into one of these old games and it says options. And I'm like, oh, options.
Yeah.
And it's like, would you like mono or stereo? Goodbye.
Yeah. Your emulator has to do the switching. But if you really had to do that, you could. You could remap those to your shoulders in a modern way. However, it's not only fine. I think it works 100%. Like the only when I play pinball games on a phone, I should hate it, but I actually really like it because it's almost one of the only touchscreen activities I enjoy because it's bumpers, it's flippers. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Beep 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 beep. So Brian, get yourself used to it.
Beep, 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 beep.
I'm sorry, I said BMNA. So your two far right and far left buttons, which happen to be a D-pad and happen to be a B button. Those are your buttons.
Okay. Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. I can see that.
Piece of cake. Okay. Nothing doing. It's really easy.
I can see that now. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at my controller now. I can see that.
The other one is Kirby's Dream Course. I just wanted to give a little nod to. It's a golf, kind of a mini golf game. And of course,
Kirby's a ball.
Kirby's a ball, exactly. So you're knocking Kirby around. It's actually really, really good. Right. One of the better sort of golf light types games that showed up on the system at the time. That was an SNES game. And that, by the way, is also on the online Switch service. So you can play that one just right now if you want to. In fact, a lot of these we talked about so far are on there. The Game Boy stuff isn't, but the NES games, the Super NES games, and maybe the N64 game is there. I don't know. The Dream Course is great.
It should be. They're pretty proud of those Kirby games. I think the Super NES Classic had two Kirby titles on it. So I was pretty excited to see that.
Yeah,
it had the Superstar.
Yeah, and they, of course, made their own little ripoff of Puyo Puyo. Sort of. Everybody was doing that then, though.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, oh, hey.
Mean Bean.
yeah.
wicked machine.
You had your Mean yeah. Bean machine. You had your Pac-Man one, Pack Attack, or whatever it was called. You had the Street Fighter thing. Everybody was trying to make a, you know, a dent in the puzzle market with their big IPs, and Kirby had his time as well.
Oh yeah.
Now let's talk about the important one. Not this garbage Superstars 8 game freaking gimmick nightmare. All right.
You're wrong. It's the best. Well, okay, it's not the best. It's like it's my second or third. It's not my top 3.
Okay. Really? Three. That's insane to me.
Top 3. But now, okay. This just includes the retro Kirby. It doesn't include anything else, which is up to Kirby and Amazing Mirror on the Game Boy Advance in 2004. That was as far as I had research time for.
Well, how do you feel about one of the greatest ones ever released for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System called Kirby's Dream Land 3?
That sucks. That's the worst one yet.
Bull poopy.
That was the worst one.
It's not the worst. That's a good game. There's nothing wrong with this game. I mean, it's not that different than the early NES games other than graphics and stuff, but it's, you know, it's a very good, people love this game. What do you are the crack smoker of the day.
I felt that I was the crack smoker on this, and I just don't think I had enough time to really appreciate it, but I did not like how you talked about the two-player games.
Yeah.
This game really shines with two players.
Disagree. Keep going.
So much so that just a simple press of the, I think either the A or the B button, brings up your blob gooey. Oh my God. The blob gooey the spinoff of the Void and is a Dorcas. He's a cross-eyed weirdo.
Yeah.
Right? And you start out with him fishing, right? Yeah. And he's like, he's eating the raw mackerel.
Yeah.
He's a weirdo. now what you do is I accidentally kept choosing him. And since if you're two players, Gooey's cool because the other person can control Gooey. But if you accidentally freaking get that turd launched while you're playing by yourself, oh my God, he's such a pain in the butt. He's in the way constantly. I'm like, get out of the way, you stupid blob Gooey.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah, stop messing me up.
I mean, I admit it can be that way. And they also have these other helpers right now who are watching that raccoon bird thing.
No, now those are helpers.
They're okay.
Gooey is like he's like Scrappy Doo. He's terrible.
I can't deny that. He is kind of Scrappy Doo.
I hate him.
I feel you. No. That's a fair point. I don't think you can make it the worst Kirby game, though. It can make it one of the worst characters in Kirby history. Sure. Okay, and there are a few of those. That DDDDDDD guy can eat a chode. Yeah, he sucks. He's a turd. Not a fan.
Yeah.
He's
not even a top level tier boss after a while. Especially once you get to this, you're like, you start getting into the Void storyline and, you know, things get really serious with these eyeball void looking things that are following you everywhere. This was the most nefarious of all of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And on the face of it, it's got kind of a painterly look. Everything's meant to look a little bit like watercolor or something.
That watercolor painterly look. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, there's that damn tree again.
Always. It had pets. And that tree I feel bad. This is what made me feel like I was the bad guy. After I killed this tree, like for the fifth time, I'm like, maybe I'm the bad guy.
It was you the whole time, man. Yeah, that tree is always pissed. He's in every Kirby game that I can remember. And you're always having
to
kill
him. He's always like the first boss.
Yeah, he's a real pud. And kind of hard, too. He's once you learn his patterns, it's not too bad.
Yeah. He's super. At first, he's like very intimidating because he's much bigger. He takes up the whole screen. But then once you discover, it's like, oh, I just need to stand here. And it's like, oh, I just beat that stupid tree. And now he's crying sap again. Okay.
Yep.
I am the bad guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're the one that the police really should take and put away.
Now, I don't know why this person is using the owl when everybody knows you need to have Rick the Hamster. That's just...
Yeah, Rick the Hamster is the choice. You're right. If you ask your average...
Sure, he can fly, but I mean, Rick the Hamster. You're riding like Yoshi. You're like Mario riding Yoshi. They're peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, and that blast thing he does is awesome. That that yell blast thing or whatever it is, like shockwave.
Yeah.
So this is a good game. This game rocks. People should play it.
Yeah.
There's some other spinoffs on the SNES. For example, Kirby's Star Stacker, By the way, Dream Course was also on the Super Nintendo as well. But you had Kirby Star Stacker, Kirby Super Star Stacker, Kirby Tilt and Tumble, and Kirby Air Ride.
Yeah.
Tilt and Tumble had gyroscope, but what was that from?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that
had a gyroscope. Yeah, you plugged. It was in the cart. It was built into the cart, so it had like a, that cart is like a really weird size. The only one I didn't really get to take a look at because I was like,
Oh, it's a GBA game, right? GBA game.
Yeah, it was a GBA game. Okay, right. Yeah.
I'm like, it can't be SNES because the cart wouldn't matter. It's sitting, you'd have to pick up the console and move it.
Hold your console.
Yeah. No, that's right. I forgot. They had a few games like that, including the pinball game had, well, they didn't have Tilt, but it had force feedback. So when you would hit the flippers or whatever, the cartridge would shake and buzz and whatever.
Yeah. They were always trying to do gimmicks like that. And I think that's one of the ones I want to physically have because I don't think emulation will really give me the sense of what I'm looking for.
Now, no, somebody would have to emulate that part of it in some way or something.
Yeah. And you probably could, no problem, if you use something like the Switch because the Switch has those in the controller and maybe what the PS4 has that in it as well, controller. And did the PS3 have that in it?
PS3 had Rumble. Yeah. Oh no, wait, you know what? Remember that was controversial. They had the rotation stuff. They had stuff in the controller for, what was that called? Six axis. They called it.
Yeah.
And then the controller itself didn't, at least initially, maybe later, it did. Maybe it got it back, but there was like lawsuits about who owned the rights to.
Oh yeah,
to that. Do you remember that?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was weird.
I've been in retro land so long, I totally forgot. I'm like Kirby.
It's like Sony didn't want to pay the royalties for this copyright, and I think Nintendo's the one that got the money for that or something.
That's weird.
I can't remember. It was some weird thing. I think that's still a thing. If you're gonna have force feedback in your controller, you have to pay for it, unless you do your own patented technology that doesn't rip it off.
Well, and that's only because Nintendo's lawyer Kirby is the story, right? That's the story Miyamoto likes to tell about Kirby. And I've read it in a million different places, but I got to be honest with you. I love Miyamoto, but he will lean into a good story.
Oh yeah.
So I've read a lot of interviews with him, and it does seem like it's like, oh, it's not necessarily true and it's not really important,
it's an apocryphal story that because he's in a fantastic business where it's all about fantasy, it works somehow to keep telling that damn story.
So a lot of people say, yeah, that's the de facto answer. Then when they ask Sakurai. There you go. Why can't I say Sakurai? See, I'm having trouble, but I meant to send you that link because if you ask Siri about Masahiro Sakurai, it'll think you said mashed potato samurai.
Let me find that out. I'm going to say it. What is it?
Yeah. I'll send you the link in Discord.
Oh, do you? Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah. I'll send you the link in Discord. But, wait a minute. Okay. There we go. But yeah, anyway, yeah. He said he couldn't remember. Sakurai said he couldn't remember what the starting point for what, but it's the Kirby vacuum cleaner. They just put it as a placeholder, just like they did with Kirby. They were just like, oh, we need a character. And when they just made a little cute pink blob, then they end up keeping it. Same thing with the name. I can almost bet. I don't know that for a fact. It just feels right. So Brian's rewriting history.
Look, I now see what you mean by, okay, now I understand this because this is the link you sent me. I'm going to try this live on the air. Okay. So here we go.
Right.
I'm going to say, so what do I say? Ask Siri, who made Kirby? Okay. Here we go. Siri, who made Kirby?
Masahiro Sakurai created Kirby.
Oh, poop. It's fixed now.
Fixed it. That was in 2018, so I guess they got shamed.
Yeah, they
Nintendo
fixed it.
Nintendo Life reported on it back in 2018, so.
Because this is what it says. Mashed Potato Samurai created Kirby, and then they don't call him by his real name, but they got his Mashed Potato Samurai link in here. That's really freaking funny, but they fixed it.
I would love that. Nah, boo, fixing things.
Look at the search. Did you see what the search did? Let down below, if you keep going, the Google search. There's no way that guy's him. Chat, you got to see this.
The guy, the first guy. Yeah, the first guy.
There's no way in hell that's him. Yeah.
Betsy Hiro Sakurai is kind of he's kind of like a rock star, right? He looks like he could be doing some K-pop or something. He's got the pop collar and everything. He's very hip and cool, and
yeah, he's got to be in his late 40s by now, right?
Something like that.
He's got to be older now. Not much younger than me.
Is J-pop a thing?
J-pop.
I know there's K-pop, which is Korean stuff, but I wasn't sure.
No, J-pop was first.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with the term, I mean, and then later you got your that K-pop. Makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Still a thing as far as I know.
Right, but K-pop is so popular right now. It's still in the top.
After that, you get, okay, I'm going to tell you the worst thing ever made. You ready?
Uh-oh. Do it.
Well, I already did. It's Kirby Superstar from 96, but the second worst. Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards. They should call that now, the Crystal Shards. They should call it.
Me and you are on, we're on the same page now. So the Kirby 64 or the Crystal Shards.
It's bad.
2000. What a waste of 3D.
Yeah.
You know, it was still, you know, side scrolling essentially with a little parallaxing maybe and a little bit of rotation, but you know, pretty much just side scroller. Yeah. Why even bother?
I mean, it sounded good. Listen to this. It's got good sound, jaunty music. Let's hear some gameplay. Obviously a full throated sound work on that. It's a jump in the right direction in all other ways, except for the fact that this looks like a game where they went, yeah, 3D's weird and hard. We don't know what we're doing yet. So we'll just kind of work our way through this and sort of fake it. That's how it feels to me. I don't like this game.
Where other Kirby's had kind of each iteration of the main storyline was always trying to bring something, you know, several things that were new. They only brought one new thing here. And as far as I know, it was the combined powers. So you could, like, if you sucked up something, you know, you could actually suck up two things at once.
Yeah.
And you could make something from that, like a third power, which I thought was pretty cool. But they never did that again later on, which I thought was a shame. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's moments like that that are fine. Someone in the chat says it's the best Kirby. I think the answer to this one depends on when you played it and how old you were. I really do think that makes a difference here. So if you were, like, you know, junior high kid, playing Kirby for the first time, this is your first Kirby, you probably lost your mind. You thought this was so great. And I don't want to take that away from you people, okay? But in retrospect, rough. Rough.
I did play it, and it felt like a... Now, once again, it's 3D was hard. We were just getting into it. But it did feel like a step back. I'm not saying it's the worst Kirby game. I'm just saying...
Me neither. That, I'll give that to Superstar, whatever it is.
I disagree. I still think... I still can't stand that stupid gooey guy. That gooey guy ruined everything.
Yeah, the gooey guy... Well, no, the gooey guy's not in... he's not in Superstar, is he, or is he?
No, in Dreamland.
Oh, no, Dreamland's awesome. Quit saying Dreamland's bad.
Dreamland 3. No, I said Dreamland 3.
Yeah, Dreamland 3 is great. You're the worst for saying it's bad. Worst Kirby is Kirby Superstar with 8 games.
No.
Yeah.
That's the best.
No. It's so bad.
Okay, so it's like the second or third best. Because we're about to talk about them, but the next ones are kind of the ones I think are the best.
And I'm going to, so, you know, God bless you, Kirby 64, but you just didn't cut it. But I'll tell you what did cut it. The best Kirby ever made. Here's some sound. Now, you hear this and go, wait, that sounds like everything, Scott. Sounds like the same shit.
Good.
It sounds like the same thing you've been playing the whole time. Well, let me tell you what I'm actually playing here. I am playing sound from Kirby Nightmare and Dreamland from the GBA. You might say, oh, is that a new game? No. It's a remake of Dreamland, the original.
No, it's the remake of the Adventure.
Adventure. I always do that wrong. Adventure.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
I do it every time. I don't know why. This had 4-player support, though I never used it. Because you got to, you know, link up Game Boys. Beautiful 32-bit graphics. Mm, and the reason you'll notice that is the animation frames per second, all that kind of stuff, like animation in each character and dude you fight and all that other stuff. So much more advanced than even the SNES would have done.
Yeah.
And so what they did is they took the best playing Kirby, original adventure Kirby, and they made it even better because it was, like, at the time, massive upgrade in both graphics, audio, quality in general.
Speed of gameplay.
The gameplay was so good. Yeah. So good. This is the game. It came out in 2002, and it's beautiful. And I've been playing this one. I'm pretty far in it, actually. I've been playing the hell out of this game.
Yeah.
And it's a revisit for me because I used to have it. And I think it is wonderful and wins today's competition for best Kirby game ever.
I will say it is definitely top two.
What would you put at number? Well, have we hit one yet? Or
if I could complete the games, I could make a definite call. But it's definitely going to be one of the Game Boy games. It's either going to be Kirby Nightmare and Dreamland, which you just talked about in 2002, or the 2004 Kirby and the Amazing Mirror.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's a real tight. It was a tough call. I'd have to complete both of them to be able to really call it in my personal take.
You know what part of it is the reason I think Adventure and the Nightmare and Dreamland remake of Adventure. You know what I think it is about those that I love so much?
Give me it.
It's do the level, take on a tiny mini boss, not a big deal, solve a puzzle or two, and then get out and you're in overworld again where you got doors. Okay, where do I want to go now? Do I want to go right to level 3 or I go to this bonus level where I got to get to choose a thing? I like that kind of loop. So it's not just level, it's level and then back out to where I'm picking doors and deciding where to go next. There's something about that I love.
Yeah, there's something about being able to drop out to like this overworld area where you can pick from 8 different wonderful games that really makes it stand out.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, I will agree with you
Superstar.
Though. I will agree with you that Kirby and the Amazing Mirror is very, very good. It's almost
Kirby gets split into 4, right? And they're kind of like they're not pets, but they're like companions, and I just like the tempo of it, and just everything looks great, and it's just
it pisses me off though because it kind of feels like you're cheating. You're calling one of your buddies if you're screwing up.
You get to call them on a cell phone. It's my favorite. It's like I need to call for help. I love that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I can play this by myself, or I can call a friend.
Yeah, but the friend is who wants to be it, and they're just AI. If you don't have 4 Game Boys, so you're just whatever. But I think it's a delightful game. It's it's probably tied for second with the Super NES game that you don't like.
Right.
So I don't know why.
Maybe if I got completely all the way through Kirby's Dream Land 3, I could say. But once again, we've picked this, like Kirby, we've picked this massive sandwich of game, and I was only able to get through so much of it. And just like I said, after playing all the other Kirby's, the Dream Land 3 was one of the last ones I played, and it just fell flat for me. It just didn't sparkle and shine like some of the other ones I had played. So I don't know.
You should buy that new one. It's good. It's really good. Give your Switch a happy meal. It's an excellent game. It really is. It's something special. I think that game's awesome. When the end of the, or I guess they already had awards that it would have been up for, but if they do awards and it hasn't been considered yet, it ought to be considered. It's a gameplay first kind of romp. That looks amazing, feels great, is true to the spirit of Kirby, and also weird like Kirby. It's just great.
Wonderful. I need Rockstar to make me a game like Kid Kirby. That's what I need.
Oh, you mean like a GTA style Kirby game?
Did you ever hear about this story?
No.
Apparently, before Rockstar was Rockstar, they were still DMA, I believe. Yeah. And so they were actually working on one called Kid Kirby. It's one of the canceled games, and I would have been excited to see a little more adultish Kirby. Unless you read the German Kirby manga, which you already know what adult Kirby looks like.
I did not, but now I don't want to know about that. Is that really a thing?
Yeah. So there was Nintendo Power. There was a website, and I guess the magazine too, but Nintendo Power DE, the German Kirby manga. Where Kirby is kind of like an old film noir kind of detective, and he's known to sit at his desk and look at dirty magazines.
Okay.
And, just basically be a big, giant, orange bad guy. What he does.
Okay. Don't search. By the way, don't search for Kirby
Dirty Magazine Edition,
or even just if you don't unsafe search for Kirby.
Right. Actually, you're that's hilarious because I think that's what the first thing it told me whenever I searched that. It told me the same thing. It said, warning. Yeah. You don't have safe search turned on.
Yeah. You somehow think Kirby's immune to Rule 34.
Right.
No.
And my favorite part of the German Kirby manga, where it's just like this adultish themes and, you know, sexy women and that kind of stuff. And, you know, Kirby smoking it up and doing all that kind of stuff. My favorite part is, I'm assuming it was the editor or maybe the cartoonist, in an online interview, Claude M. Moise said that he didn't like Masahiro Sakurai all too much for unexplained reasons. Running this and reportedly a few others was more or less his way of getting back at him by turning Kirby into a freak.
Wow. Why didn't he not like him, say? Why he didn't like him?
I don't know. Maybe he was a little punk. You know, how old would he have been? I mean, by around 2000 or so, you know, he was 19 in 92. So what? He's still in his 20s.
You think he might have gotten a little too far up his own butt and was thinking he was pretty awesome and pop, you know, better than everybody else? Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
And the Germans are like, no, we don't have this. I know at one time we were all allies, not today.
Yeah.
That's terrible. World War II.
I love it.
Too soon. Anyway, too soon. There you go. That's the run. That's all of them. Now, like we said, there have been games since. There's some amazing stuff on the DS. There are incredible games on the 3DS. And the Wii U had a fantastic game. Nothing wrong with any of those Kirby games. We just knew if we wanted to do all 300 of them, we were going to kill ourselves. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
It's a lot of Kirby.
Yeah, it's a lot of Kirby. And I'm telling you, we've mentioned the ones you really need to get here. These are the core games that are going to matter the most. You're going to have the most fun with. And look, if you got to go back to NES and play Kirby's Adventure, play it there. That's fine. Highly recommend playing that GBA remake, though. It's much better.
Yeah, now, I tell you, we've talked about it on the show, and I think we've had a reawakening here, or some kind of awakening, that me and Scott have realized that, wow, we knew Game Boy Game Advance games were fun, but
yeah,
they really hold up.
They hold up way more than you think. More better than their big console brethren. Like the Game Boy is, I don't know why I feel this way now. I loved it at the time, and especially my SP, but I just always saw it as, oh, this is Nintendo's current you know, handheld console, and that's fine, and you get whatever you get out of it. But in retrospect and playing them now, they're some of the most fun I'm having. Like,
yeah,
straight up. Yeah. And if I can find a version for the GBA, I prefer that over one of the others because it has a better aspect ratio. They're newer. They have better. That's a better processor, better sound, all that stuff. So, yeah, man, like the other comparison here is Super Mario Advance 4, which is Super Mario Brothers 3 on the Nintendo Entertainment System, but buffed up like they did with Kirby, like all new graphics and stuff. If you already thought Super Mario Brothers 3 was like the best Mario game, and a lot of people do, this version is so good. It's so much better than just the base. And I know if you're like trying to be a I only play the original in its most original form, I understand. I get it. Okay.
I get you.
But I love these remasters. I mean, they didn't call them remasters at the time, but I really like them. Yeah. All right.
I think I like the Game Boy Advance because it was still, you know, early 2000s for a lot of these games, mid 2000s. And we were about to head into DS territory where everybody felt like they needed to make use of that stylus. For a really long time, it felt like every game had to have a stylus gimmick. And I'm like, I don't want this. You're straying.
They were trying too hard. Nintendo does this thing. Okay. There's ways that they keep their stuff from getting pirated and goofed around with. And one of them is they introduce a bunch of gimmicks that nobody can reproduce very well.
Yeah.
And the DS is a great example of this, but it's certainly true of other consoles they've had.
You need two screens and it needs to have touch in it.
Yeah.
And
or motion control or whatever. Like it's got to have these things that are difficult to duplicate. And the problem with that is sometimes you do that at the expense of possible fun. And the only example I will use where I think it actually worked in their favor was that Kirby
path thing where you draw his path.
That's a fun game. Really good. But it's a one shot, never going to be like that again game, right? Like it only exists because that's what the DS did. And 3D on the 3DS, same thing, right? At least that one you could kind of ignore. I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish Nintendo would just Quit. Okay. Sometimes their gimmicks work, like, you know, first Rumble Pack of all time, first analog stick. Yeah. Or no, were they the first analog stick? No.
Yeah, the yes.
N64.
With the N64.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it may not have been like, I mean, I'm trying to remember if that was, Saturn thing came out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any other that might have been third party or maybe late in development of any other. But yeah, I think that was pretty much the first mainstream console to have.
Yeah, and that stuff stuck, right? Like it held. And so I'm not saying that they don't innovate in those ways, but oftentimes they'll innovate, you know, one innovation, but two weird missteps with, well, you got to have the special hardware. You got to have the thing that you can't do any other way. You got to have two screens, like, you know, whatever. It's worked for them, and they're probably not complaining, but I always found it to be like a little bit self. You're setting yourself on fire a little bit for the future.
Yeah.
Which they've shown they don't, you know, they don't like emulation, they don't like preservation, they're kind of jerks about it.
What?
Yeah, Nintendo, man. What are you gonna do? Nintendo, man.
Love hate.
What else? Oh, where can you play this right now? Where can you play games like it? Well, as we mentioned, the Switch sub thing, Switch Network Online, whatever the hell it's called, has all the important Kirby games of the era on there. Okay? So right. If you want to get back to the 8-bit and 16-bit days, you can do it there. Although Pinball's not on there, which is really lame.
Oh. Yeah.
Because it's a Game Boy game, so they don't put it on there. What else? Of course, the new game, Forgotten Lands, is, I've said it before, I'll say it again, and one of my favorite games of last year. I love it. You should play that game. Including you, Brian. You should play that game.
I'm on it.
Okay. Get on that. Anything else you want to hit with Kirby? You got anything else you want to...
I've always found it fascinating, and this was just one other little aspect. I've always found it fascinating how angry Kirby looked on the box art of everything I'd ever seen of Kirby. But then when you get into the game, you're like, where's the angry Kirby? I don't see the attitude, but definitely in the marketing. So, yeah. We just did in North America. It seems like we always had all the characters had to have attitude, like angry, you know, angry brows with lowered Kirby.
That was the '90s, man. God. All had X's in it. I'm surprised they didn't call it Kirby X over here. You know?
Yeah, well, that would have been great.
Would it?
No.
No, it would not. Oh, look at this cool animated hand. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This game, you can't see this at home, people listening, but. Yeah. Look at all his little friends.
He's
on the phone.
He's calling his buddies. It's like, oh crap! I've been going against the hands, and it's funny because Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
all this stuff it all starts getting tied in together.
Oh yeah, and I know we mentioned it, but I'll say it again. He's OP in that game, and he should be removed from the roster. He's too good.
Well, my man, he made both. He decides. He makes the choices.
Yeah,
they let him make the Sakurai Mashed Potato Samurai. Got to make the choices.
Mashed Potato Samurai is responsible for all of Nintendo's greatest mistakes. Just kidding. Not really. He's a good guy. Good luck to him. All right. That is it for Kirby. Kirby is awesome. Go play it. Let's go play a game of our own, though, called Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
This is where Ryan's we bring audio clips and we try to find out what the hell each other is saying with these games. Or what's saying? What game they brought? That's what I'm trying to say. Brian, I'm going to start with mine. Are you ready for your hint?
Yeah, as soon as I finish guessing what game I put in your house, go ahead. Yeah, okay, good.
All right, good. You'll write that down one of these weeks. You'll just write it down somewhere.
I'm always afraid to put it in the notes. I'm afraid Scott will see it.
You got
to
tattoo it on your arm.
My inner thigh.
Ooh. All right, here's mine. You're probably not going to get this, but I kind of hope you do because you like the character involved. Let's put it that way. The year is 1995.
Is it gooey?
It's not gooey. 95, the console is the Sega Genesis. I would probably proffer to say this was also on the Super Nintendo, but I don't actually know that. So I'm going to play the Genesis version. Enjoy.
This music is all over the place.
Yeah, it jumps all over the place pretty early. Here's the part that'll probably be closer to what you think.
Yeah. Sounds
guesses?
No. It sounds familiar, but I can't get a visual on it. The audio sounds familiar, though.
Let's say that you...
Sega Genesis, 1995.
Yeah.
Is it a property based on a TV film or anything like that?
I'm glad you asked. I'll give you that. That's a good hint. I'll give you the hint that this is based on a comic strip character.
Oh.
And you're a comic strip guy. You like that stuff.
Yeah. And it's not Garfield?
It is Garfield.
Is it Garfield?
It is Garfield caught in the act. Caught in
oh
the act.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
I had this game. My God. I don't think I paid for it. I think somebody bought it. I don't remember why I had it. It's not a good game. I played it again
today. It's not a good game. And I remember having this game as well, but I still can't. It was Garfield. What was it again? Garfield.
Garfield Caught in the Act, it's called.
Caught in the Act. That's right. Caught in the Act. Yes. Yeah.
It's not a very good side-scroller thing. I don't recommend it.
But it definitely sounded like that Halloween kind of music that they always do.
Yep. Oh, for sure. And he never spoke, by the way. That's the other thing, is they didn't use any voice because it's Genesis and no one did that back then. But
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Kirby didn't speak either.
No, that's true. Kirby never said anything. Although I think he makes sounds now that's like, not like Mario, but kind of like, I can't explain it.
Kirby, I'm a star.
Something like that. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. The year is 1994 or 3?
1993. Now I'm making sure because I think it was, yes. Okay, so guess what, Scott?
Yeah.
1993, Sega Genesis, also based on what was originally a comic.
No way. Okay, yeah. That's crazy you picked that. Here we go. Based on a comic, how old of a comic?
Was it 20s, 30s? When was that comic? It was old. It's an old comic.
Is this a Popeye game?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Not Popeye?
It's not Popeye? A Popeye?
It's not the other cat. It's not Heathcliff. hold on. It can't be a serious character, because listen to this.
Originally, was in the comics in 1938. Went on to be a TV show and later a movie.
Really? Shit.
Give me one more hint. When did the movie come out? That'll
help me. Tell me when the movie came out.
The movie would have come out, one of the movies, since it was many movies, I think it came out in 92, I believe. 92. Or 91. Yeah.
Okay.
91 was the year the film came out.
91?
Mm-hmm.
I
think we've done this on Film Sack.
It's not Ghostbusters.
Nope.
That would have been 89 anyway, or 90. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Sometimes we do this show on Wednesday, my dudes.
Wednesday? We do it on Wednesday? This isn't some Addams Family thing, is it?
Of course it is.
Oh, geez. Didn't I do Addams Family on the show before? I thought I did.
I don't think you did this one. I think you did the, was it Family Values or something? You did a different one.
I must have, but that's what was holding me back. Because in my head, I'm like, well, it can't be that because I've already done it. I didn't play this. Did you play this?
I played it only in emulation.
Wow.
I never had this on the Genesis.
All right. Anybody in the chat get it?
I believe they did. Bad Boar got it. So yeah, we did. Sounds like Adam's Family.
Nicely done. Well, there you go. Yeah. Brian, 1 point. Me, 0 today. Congratulations, me. Now this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Email time. That's right. Terry J. wrote in to playretroshow@gmail.com. Says, hi, Scott and Brian as well. Or hi, I'm sorry. Hi, Brian and Scott too. Is the way it reads.
Scott too.
Don't know if you are familiar with Odd Tinkering on YouTube. ODD Tinkering.
Okay.
He restores tons of old gaming systems. But today he posted a video of a PlayStation he bought for about $5, restored it, and then upgraded it in order to play games from an SD card. Thought you'd appreciate the retro restoration and the upgrade work that he did. Love the podcast. Only podcast that I watch on YouTube regularly and religiously, and I don't even play video games that much, which is strange. I know I am obsessed, or I am an obsessed listener back from the App Slappy days, and this podcast gives me all those same feels. Thanks for being awesome. See you on Twitch when I can. Terry J.
Yeah, Terry J. I do watch Odd Tinkering. It's kind of like this. All the ones I've ever seen, he never narrates anything. I don't know if he does other ones as well, but he always just is just all you can hear is him that you know manipulating the plastic, you know, unscrewing screws, and you get to watch him tear down stuff and clean them. I like the cleaning ones probably the most, but
because this PlayStation is ugly, man. Look at that, it's dirty and yellow and
It's someone so smoked. Satisfying.
Probably people that so smoked, satisfying. Right? Probably smoked around that thing. Is that what's going on?
That's always the question. It's like, but I think this has to do with the mixture and the plastic and where it was stored at more than anything. I don't necessarily know that for a fact, but I've seen some people talk about it because when you retrobrite some things, sometimes it will return to that yellowing eventually. So it's just according to how brittle the plastic is and what it was exposed to and that kind of stuff.
So look at that. He restored it and threw the parallel port in the back.
Yes. That's the reason why they pulled that parallel port. That's funny. We was all hacking through it.
Yeah, that's cool. Little SD card in there. I'm impressed.
Yep.
That's awesome. Brian, you should do
that. I have one of those on the way. I have one of those on the way.
That thing on the back?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we'll see. It might take a minute. It's coming from China.
All right. Well, Terry, I had no idea. This is a cool channel. I'm going to check this out. If you want to be like Terry, send us an email. You can playretroshow@gmail.com. Good news, everybody. Our next discussion is around a series of games that I absolutely loved. They were highly critically acclaimed, and I wish they'd revisit them now. I probably never will. Maybe that's a thing of a bygone era. But that game series is the Strike series. That's right. Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, Urban Strike, Soviet Strike, Nuclear Strike. Oh, man.
Nuclear. We're going nuclear.
Nuclear. It's going to be awesome. I love that series. Gosh dang it, it's good. I played this recently-ish. And I love Desert Strike in particular. They're very good.
Same way.
These great overhead tactical helicopter, go in, do the mission, get out kind of stuff. I feel like there's a lot of games that I enjoy basically because they kind of do this, you know, they kind of replicate the feeling of this, even modern games. So come back for that. This is back when everyone loved EA and nobody hated them yet.
Great.
Yeah, they made good games. People were big EA fans before EA shot themselves in their own feet.
Yeah, before EA became EA.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's next week. The Strike series, Super Nintendo.
I think I'm going to try to Super. It's like the NES and the Super NES and those kind. Was it only on Sega Genesis as well?
Genesis as well. Yep. I don't think it ended up on.
Might not have been on NES. That might have been too early.
Yeah, I think it was just SNES and Genesis. However, there may have been a version on the Saturn, possibly. I can't remember. We're going to dig in though. We're going deep. And we're going to play the hell out of these again this week because they're great.
We're going deep and seeing how socially sensitive these guys were to all of our military members who were coming back from war and going, oh, yes, well, I want to see.
Yep.
A game based on war.
Or in the game just actually blowing up, you know, civilians and huts and stuff. I don't know if any of that's
Didn't you face off against, am I remembering it wrong? That we actually go, there's like Saddam Hussein, like,
I mean, there's a guy like him, but there's no, I don't think they use him. I don't think it's a direct reference, but it's obviously alluded to that it's, you know, like him. And the Desert Strike in particular, that was, because that came out right around the time of the Gulf War or the first Gulf War.
Right.
And
that's my memory of it.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Yeah. I look forward to fighting Gorbachev.
Yep.
No, that would be too late.
That's different. Soviet maybe.
Yeah.
But so nuclear, I don't remember. I don't remember who you're fighting. Just
nuclear.
Yeah, I don't think
you're fighting. You're fighting a Superman who's trying to launch all of our nuclear missiles into the sun.
Oh, is that it? Sweet. So it's Superman for the quest for peace.
Right.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Can't wait for that. Anyway, that's coming up soon, right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you some cool names that joined our Patreon since we last talked. Patreon.com/playretro is the place, and we'd like to welcome Chris Big Sandwich. Yep, that's his name. Love that.
I like Chris Big Sandwich. I wonder if too. He shares.
That's an amazing sound or name. Fett 101 and Matthew Fett. Stein. That guy's just a normal name, but these other two, total chuckleheads, and we love them all, one and the same. So if you want to be like these guys and join us over at patreon.com/playretro, please do. It helps pay for the show, keeps this thing on the air, and there are many benefits you get by doing so. So walk not, you don't have to run, but walk on over to patreon.com/playretro and sign up today. You'll never get any commercials. You'll get pre-show content every week included on a feed, and you'll get monthly benefits as well. There's no reason not to join, so go check it out. That's patreon.com/playretro. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is our email address. We're PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And frogpants.com/PlayRetroShow for everything else. Hey, Brian, anything else you want to add to the pile of things here? Oh, tell them when you stream. We want to know when you stream.
Absolutely. I stream almost every night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So be sure to tune in. This is always a good time. I'm usually playing like you would have saw a lot of Kirby this last week and this next week. You're going to see a lot of Strike series from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
I remember there was a big argument about, well, of course, everybody with a Super Nintendo versus a Genesis were always fighting. But I remember there was a lot of fighting around the Strike series in terms of which console did the versions better. So we're going to probably look at that a little bit, too, and, you know, see if the SNES version really was as good as everybody said. Personally, I
bet the audio was better,
was nice.
But we'll see.
Yeah, but I'll bet the graphics were faster on the Genesis.
I bet so.
Because they had blast processing. That was fake. That was bullshit. Never mind. All right, that's it. That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Between now and the next time we see you, please go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
Mashed potato samurai.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
He's pink and very powerful.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.